and we continue our study in the life of David, I want us to see this coming out of these verses, and that is death is but a step away. Notice what it says in verse 1 through 3. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah, came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" Now, of course, David didn't have a sin against Saul. David didn't do wrong by the kingdom. It was Saul's sin that was causing this whole thing. And it goes on to say, and he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Now, obviously, when the secret came out, Jonathan wasn't around. He wasn't told. Perhaps Saul said, "Don't mention this to my son Jonathan. He's a good friend of David, and I don't want David finding out." And it goes on to say, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a," what? "Step between me and death." Now there are many things about the life of David that God ought to use to speak to our own lives. Now our eyes are to move from David to David's God. Now, David had become a very discouraged man. He thought, you know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed at the hand of King Saul. Now, he had come to one of those moments in his life where he thought the wicked were going to win. Now, perhaps you have had some of those moments in your life. You know, there's times in our nation's history, it seems like we go through really terrible times, do we not? And it seems like everything's falling apart. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on the Father's house, not what's going on in the White House or what's going around on the nation. And you know what? Sometimes we get the feeling that, you know what? The wicked are prospering. The righteous are not. And it doesn't seem right. And we think, and maybe, you know what? Jesus is coming at any moment, which he possibly can. But here's the thing. We should not be Chicken Little. We should not be running around with our heads cut off. We should not be worried because things are going south. Everything's just fine in the Father's house, and because it's fine up there, we ought to be fine down here. Perhaps you've come to one of those moments in your life where you think, man, everything's going wrong. You know what? It's the wicked are prospering, and it's a terrible time for me. Well, David needed to reconsider the fact that his life was in the hands of God. You know, we need to understand that. God may be using those times to do something good in our life. You know, so often we don't think about that, do we? We just look at the terrible time we're in, and we don't see that perhaps God is using those things to perhaps enhance our testimony. Remember when Job was going through the terrible time that he went through? Now, none of us have gone through what Job has gone through. I mean, we haven't even touched the hem of the garment. And you know what? Job said this. He kept looking to the Lord, did he not? And he said, "I shall come forth as what? Gold." You know what he believed? He believed this was a time that God was purifying his testimony. And he was going to come forth as gold. He was coming out, he was determined to come out better and not get bitter. You know, perhaps maybe it's just a time we're going through and we think, oh, what a horrible, horrible time. But maybe it's just God getting our attention so we would draw close to him. Correct? And then how about we have need of patience? And how do we get patience? It's going through those tough times. There's so many blessings that are a result of going through difficult times. So really, you know, David is here going, man, you know what? He feels the same way we did. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. So when we go through these times, we're pretty good company, don't you think? David felt his own life was in jeopardy and that with his next breath, his life could be taken. He said, there is but a step between me and death. Now, in this conversation with Jonathan, the son of Saul, David said, tell me, I really need to know what's going on. What is racing through your father's mind? What is he possibly thinking? What have I done that is so terrible that he wants to take me from the earth? What is it? Well, Jonathan, in effect, he tries to comfort David. He says, David, I don't believe you're going to be killed. You're not going to die. If my father really intended to kill you, he would have told me. But soon Jonathan would find out that his father did intend to kill David. Now remember that the prophet Samuel told David that God chose him to be the next king in Israel. Did he not? Now, how could he possibly die before he sat on the throne? Could he? Yet David said, there is but a step between me and death. This was a lapse of David's faith right here. You know, you ever read the story about Peter in Herod's prison? Right? And he's chained between, what, four soldiers? And what's he doing? He's praying, you think? Oh, praising? No. He's praying for the peace of Jerusalem. He's conked out, isn't he? He's sleeping. And the next morning, he's supposed to have his what? His head cut off. You ever wonder why he had so much peace about him? Because he knew he wasn't going to have his head cut off. He knew that he was going to die by crucifixion. That's what Jesus told him earlier. And he's thinking, well, you know what? It ain't happening now. You see, he had faith at that time. Now, David's getting happy feet. David's getting all frustrated and worried because he's having a lapse of faith. Something Peter didn't do when he was bound by four soldiers in Herod's prison. You know, David's awful discouraged here, isn't he? Have you ever noticed when people are discouraged, they overstate their problem? Don't they? It's always worse than it truly is. Now, we need to be careful about what we say when we are discouraged, because when we are discouraged, we're going to say things perhaps that make matters much worse. Now look at verses 4 through 9 of this chapter. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. I don't know if that was a wise statement that Jonathan made, but I believe he was a good friend to David. And he's thinking, I'll do whatever it takes to help you. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is a new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee. Now, David is in great discouragement. He has taken his eyes off the Lord. He no longer believes that he's going to sit on the throne of Israel. He believes he's actually going to die at the hand of Saul. Now, instead of relying on the Lord, he starts scheming. He starts planning. He's coming up with his own reasoning on how to handle this situation. And basically, he says to Jonathan, and Jonathan opened himself up, but Jonathan should have said, I ain't lying for you. Correct? But David's saying, hey, Jonathan, since you're a friend of mine, you made this offer, why don't you take this lie to your father and see how he reacts? You say, certainly Christians wouldn't lie. Yes, they would. And it's a crying shame, isn't it? But he gets Jonathan to lie with him. He says, tell your father, you know, that there's going to be a sacrifice, a yearly sacrifice. I'm going home to be with my father and my brothers. And he says, then we're going to find out what's in your father's heart towards me. He schemed. Now, he's not the first one to scheme, and he won't be the last one to scheme. When you read about the story of Abraham, how many times did he scheme? You know, he didn't want to claim Sarah to be his wife. Oh, she's my sister. Did it twice, didn't he? All because he thought that he'd be killed because of her. Now, Abraham was promised a seed, wasn't he? So how would that seed ever come about if Abraham was dead? Wouldn't, would it? And so he's still scheming and lying instead of relying on the Lord. Now, surely none of us would ever do such a thing, would we? Scheme, lie, plan, use our human reasoning over what God has clearly told us? Would we do such a thing? You know, these things are written for our admonition. You know what that means? It means we should learn from them. We should not repeat the mistake of somebody else. We should learn to rely on the Lord at all times. You know, a faith that isn't tried can't be trusted. We need to learn to live by faith and not by sight. Well, David stated that death was just a step away. If death truly is just a step away, don't you think there are some things that we need to take care of now before that moment of death arrives? Well, life is but a what? Vapor. Just a poof in the air. It goes by swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You say, well, you know what? It doesn't seem like that. Well, you may be younger. But the older you get, the more time flies quicker. Amen. And as I look at the crowd today and I look behind the pulpit, look at myself, most of us got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Most of our life has been lived. We're on the downslope. Yeah, you may not want to think so, but it's true. And so because life is brief, there are some things that we need to take care of before we die. I think the first one and the most important one is that we be prepared to meet our God. Now, if you're lost and undone, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. You need to get born again. You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You need to be robed in His righteousness. You may need to be made fit for glory. Because without that, you're going to a place you will not want to be. A place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, we make peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But don't you think we ought to make peace with other people too? You know, I've done enough funerals since I've been in the ministry. And you know, it's always shocking to me that there are people there who just weep and wail and go nuts. And I find out later, it's because the one that was in the casket, them and that person weeping and wailing did not have a good relationship, and now they regret not reconciling before that person died. Isn't that sad? Not treating them properly while they lived, and now you're going to wail while they're dead. You know what? If that was the case with me, I don't even think I'd show up. There's no way you can repair the breach now. So why don't we repair the breach while we're alive? Why don't we reach out to that family member that we have a strained relationship with? Why don't we reach out to that parent, perhaps, that we don't, we're not in simpatico anymore. We have aught against one another. Why don't we reach out and try to make things right with that church member that we have ignored and given the cold shoulder for all these years? Because once they're dead, it's over with. You can't do nothing about it. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, what? You know, if both of them were saved, you know what? If I was the Lord, I'd do. And they didn't get along when they died, I'd duct tape them. And let them fight it out for all of eternity. We all watch until they got things straight. Wouldn't that be entertaining? I would think so. But, you know, the Lord is much more merciful than Pastor Merciful. So, but anyway. But why not get that thing straight? Otherwise, you're going to live with a life of regret. You know, I've been taught a long time ago, you put flowers... You know, we put flowers on the grave, but you know what? Those people don't enjoy them. Why don't you give them to them while they're alive? Makes sense, doesn't it? So who do you have aught against that you're still butting heads with? I think it would be wise on our part to have some peace between us before we or they pass away. Because once death happens to either one, that opportunity of reconciliation is gone forever. Then how about the need of peace in our own hearts? The Bible says in Colossians, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." We should be doing with our lives what God would have us do. If we're out of fellowship with the Lord, not walking with Him, not walking in the light as He is in the light, not having fellowship one with another, you know, why don't we take care of that before we die? You know, one of the prayers I have for some folks that I know that are just out of fellowship with the Lord is that, you know what, they would get right with Him. You say, why is that? I'll tell you why. They won't want to meet Him if He comes in the air. Because they will be ashamed for how they live. And if they die before He comes in the air for them, they'll still be ashamed when they go to meet Him. I wouldn't want that in my own life, and I don't want that for somebody else. Isn't it about time we stop getting maybe 70% right with the Lord and just surrender ourselves to Him and do what He wants us to do? After all, He does have our best interests in mind. He does tell us how we ought to live. Why are we so refusing to do so? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? We ought to have peace in our hearts. Now, it is true that death is only one step away. Right? How many here are guaranteed that you're going to lay down tonight and sleep? None of us. How many of you have ever had a close call with death? Sure. Man, I've had many of them, especially prior to my salvation. I had knives pulled on me. I've been shot at, guns pulled on me, been in accidents where I shouldn't have survived. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I look back on that and I said, man, how in the world am I still alive? He said, well, preacher, how the hell that happened to you? I was in the wrong places with the wrong people. But I'm telling you, We could be going home, getting a car accident. Who knows when our heart gives out? I don't imagine Hulk Hogan, who didn't look like he was in bad physical shape, was expecting to die of a heart attack. Incredible, isn't it? You say, I knew you'd get Hulk Hogan in somehow. It's not true. I just thought of that. I was like, man, he looked pretty good shape, don't you think? He had pythons almost as big as mine. I would flex mine, but my suit couldn't contain them. But I mean, I don't think he was expected to die. His wife didn't think he was going to die. Even his manager thought, man, this is sudden. This is unexpected. And yet he was still 71 years old. But how many people have died young? For no cause at all, really. Death is but one step away. And the next breath we breathe could be our last. We need to make peace with God, peace with others. And we ought to have peace within our own hearts. Now we have peace with God through salvation, peace with others through forgiveness, and peace in our own hearts by being obedient to the will of God. David said death is but a step away and we need to be prepared for it. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 1, the Bible says, and David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Now why do you think Jonathan said, you know, David, you're not going to die? I don't think it was because he thought, well, my dad ain't going to kill you. That's just absurd. I think he said, David, you're not going to die. You were anointed to be king of Israel. God is not going back on his word. God is going to fulfill that promise to you, David. You are going to be the king. Didn't matter that my dad threw a javelin at you twice. Doesn't matter if he's planning on killing you now. You are going to sit on the throne and rule. You see, he believed God already made the decision for David's life. And nothing was going to alter that. He knew that David was under the care and keeping of Almighty God. And that nothing would happen to David that God would not allow. Nothing will come to us that we consider to be harmful unless God allows it to come into our life. And what he allows to come into our life, he means for our what? He said, oh, what about death? How many think death is a bad thing? Man, death is going to be the best friend that you ever had. When he taps you on the shoulder, you're in the presence of the Lord. You're in the Father's house. You're with saints that have gone by before. You're with loved ones who have gone by before that are saved. Man, you get to be with Jesus. How bad can that be? You know what? You don't have any more cares. All your needs are going to be met. No more worries. You shouldn't be worrying now, but let's face it, we do. You don't have to get up in the morning and go to work. You don't have to cut those weeds down in your yard. So it's all good, isn't it? I mean, really, it's a wonderful thing. You know, some people fear death, and I just don't understand that. Especially if you're a believer, you should not fear death. But why is that they do? Amen? Let me say this. If there was a train going to glory this afternoon, I'd want my ticket punched. Amen. And, you know, there's an old song that says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And that's pretty much the case, isn't it? But as believers, if we have faith in God's word, that should take all that away. Didn't Jesus take the sting of death away? So, I mean, come on! The best thing that can happen to a believer is to depart this earth and go to glory. Now, looking at the life of David, you see David at one time goes into a cave, did he not? And guess who came into that cave after him and his men were in there? Saul, he went in there to rest his feet. Now, ask yourself, if you were David and you had the sons of Zariah with you, take him out. There he is. God's given him on a silver platter to you. All it takes is just one stab. Would you have listened to them? I think David was awful merciful, just cut a piece of cloth off, don't you think? And even when he did that, he was convicted. You know, I believe David really did understand the truth. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I'll be honest, I probably would have took him out. Let my problems be over. You know, I'm tired of them. But David was a godly man. A man after what? God's own heart. You know, but all this was part of God's plan of developing David to be the ruler over Israel. That was part of God's plan to put Saul there. And no doubt his faith was tested, and David passed the test. You know, sometimes we think that everything happens by coincidence. You know, such as the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Was it really a coincidence that they decided, hey, you know what, it'd be a good idea, Mary, you know, you're about ready to be delivered. I'll put you on a donkey, and we're going to go over to Bethlehem. What do you think? Now, how many think your wife would say, that's a really good idea? How many of your wives would say, are you out of your mind? But you know what happened? There was Caesar Augustus. He made a tax, did he not? The whole world was going to be taxed. He was the big boss with the hot sauce. He ruled over the entire world, known world at the time. Was that just a coincidence? Or do you think that was part of God's plan to get Mary and Joseph over there to fulfill the prophecy that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem? Yeah, I believe that was true. So a lot of the things that happen, we don't think are good. But yet they are meant for our good. And they come to pass because God has a plan for us. You see what I'm saying? Now, isn't that good? Now, how many think being taxed is good? How many like that? No. But you know what? It was for the good of mankind, wasn't it? And that was the place where the Savior was born. You know, David did not realize at this time, but God was going to protect him. God still had his plan in place for him to sit upon the throne of Israel. You know, I don't know how many times we've been spared from death. We probably don't even know, hundreds of times perhaps. I mean, we could have caught a pestilence. Some could have of us could have died during COVID. All kinds of things can happen to us, and yet we're still around. Now, God has a plan for us, and He wants us to do His will the rest of our days. Listen, David needed to hear what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 54:17. He says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." You know, between us and death, there is but a what? Step. And you know what? The next step we take could be our last. I'll never forget, I never knew what happened to this lady, but I was preaching in Albuquerque. It was Sunday school. And all of a sudden, man, towards the end of the Sunday school class, this lady just falls out. And then I see the ambulance coming, they're throwing her on a stretcher, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she ever made it. Never heard about it afterwards. Remember that, Connie? I mean, it just almost ruined the whole Sunday school. No, I'm only kidding. But you never know. It could be, that could have been her last. That could happen to any one of us. There's but a step between us and death. You know, and when you read Psalm 8, the Bible says this in verse 1 through 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? It's given in a form of a question there. But it's also a great statement of truth. The truth is, God is mindful of man. And that is just amazing to me. We don't bring nothing to the table. You know, when God's mindful of us, I mean, you read some things in the Bible that He knows the number of hairs on our head, that He knows our name. He's interested in us. When it's speaking about Him being mindful of us, you know, He knows where we are at this very moment. He knows what our thoughts are. And some of you are probably thinking, I wish the preacher would shut up and get this thing over with. But you know what? He knows what we're going to do today. He knows every aspect of our lives. That's amazing to me. And what a blessing that is, that He is mindful of me. He's mindful of you. That ought to encourage every one of us. You know, when you're going through a hard time, He's mindful that you need comfort. You know, when you have a need, He's mindful of that need, and He's wanting to meet that need. You know, whatever you're going through, you know what? He's got the answer. He's mindful of you. Do you need help for something or someone? He has a promise that you can claim. Folks, you're not alone. He is with you. You know, the Bible tells us, for all the promises of God in Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, are yea and amen in Him to the glory of God. You know, God took care of David, didn't He? Did He sit on the throne eventually? Sure. Was He promised that it would be an easy way to the throne? No. You know, but God did spare him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear and the paw of the giant. And He would spare him from King Saul as well. You know, it's easy for us to talk about David and saying to Jonathan, hey, your father is going to kill me. And it's easy for us to look at this from our point of view and say, David, wake up! What are you thinking? You're going to the throne! Stop it! But when we go through some of the things we go through, we react quite similar to David, don't we? Between each of us and death is but a step. But we can always rely on God's care and keeping of His own. Now, if Christ does not return soon, we're all going to die. You're not going to beat it. And we need to make peace with God. If you're not saved, you need to come to Christ. And we ought to make peace with others. Because once we die, we may just we just may live with regrets that we didn't make our attempt to reach out and reconcile with them. And then we need to realize that, you know what? We need to be walking with the Lord day in and day out. Listen, God cares for us. He protects us. And we have all the promises of God. Yes, there's but a step between us and death. Let's make sure we have peace. All right, we'll have some more in about 5 minutes.